The title is, Are You an HD'er? Overview. What is an HD'er? He or she is someone who hears and does the Word of God. Praise God.
Praise God.
See, it was about 6 years ago, an ABC'er had died. But God had other plans. This person was raised up from the dead. It took a couple of days, but the first thing that happened is that person led us in Holy Communion. One of the things that they said is that the team that raised them up is that they are all HDers. And HDers are hearers and doers of the Word of God. Let's get into our scriptures. In James 1:21, it says, Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, or the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, of the work, this one will be blessed in all he does. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You see, if you're a believer and you're serious about the Word of God, then you speak the Word of God. And the Word of God, and you do the Word of God, you act on the Word of God, you hear it, and you speak it. Now, just recently, an ABC'er told me that they desire to speak the Word of God all the time. That it would be coming out just automatically on them. But you know, I figured out that in order for that to happen, the Word of God that this person needs to do is to be spoken, that Word needs to be spoken continuously, constantly. The Word of God needs to be implanted or engrafted in our hearts, and then needs to come out from the inside out. Then we need to act on the Word, to do the Word of God. Now, how does this start? Well, it's knowing how holy the Word of God is. How holy is it? In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word was God. Just imagine that. The Word is God. In John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." You see, that's how important the Word of God is. Of course, the Word does not do anything if it just sits on a coffee table, or if it's just put to the side on a shelf and gathering dust. It doesn't do anything. Or if it's just an app on your cell phone, like I have, if you don't use it, if you don't speak it, you don't read it, it doesn't do anything. Now, in John 8:31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe on him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed.'" We need to continue in the Word of God. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Knowing the Word of God will set you free. In Hebrews 4:2, it says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You have to have faith. You need faith. What's a big thing that Karen has? She has faith in the Word of God, doesn't she? Pastor Karen, hallelujah. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and of the marrow. It is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." You know, we need to be ready in season and out of season to preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Amen?
Amen.
In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Let it dwell in your heart. Let the wisdom of the word dwell in your heart. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Be believing. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Boy, how many times have we heard that? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. We need to seek him, but we need to have faith. We have to have faith. How many times you're saying to yourself, is Michael going to say this, these scriptures to me? Well, I guess just like Papa Hagen used to say, until we get it. That's right, until we get it. So how does the devil attack us? How does he attack us? Well, he attacks us from the past. He used to say, "Michael, remember this, remember that. Remember how with all these things that you did that were displeasing to God, how you hurt God. Remember all of that." You know, when I knew that Satan was doing that to me, I knew I just fought that, and I came against it. See, I used to work in a firm in L.A., and Satan used to bring up these things like, "Now, shouldn't you have done this, this way? Shouldn't you have done it this way?" And I used to be a plan checker for this firm, and he would say that. Satan would just come at me all these times, and I go, wait a minute. How many years ago was that? It's like 7 or 8 years ago. I don't do that anymore. I'm done. You know, Satan, you're trying to attack me. I just came against it. And all these things and what people had said to me and when I was, you know, when they came against me in school and stuff, you know, I just said, forget it. It's all in the past. Then the devil says, okay, I'll attack them this way. So then the devil attacks you through the future. This is mainly through fear. My main challenge is fear and procrastination, anxiety. And that's what I used to have a challenge with. I still put things off. He tries to instill fear in me all the time, but I come against it. There was a time, I remember, when I used to wake up in the morning when I worked for this firm, and every Monday morning, it was tough. I'd wake up in a cold sweat. I'd be thinking about the meetings I'd have to go to on Monday. I go, wow. And then all of a sudden I said, you know what, Satan, you're doing this again to me. I would just take it and I said, you know what, all of these troubles and things and meetings and all of these things, I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm giving it to God. I said, God, you have it. It's all yours. It's done. And you know what? Those Mondays during that week were usually my best days, because I just gave it to the Lord. And I just said, Lord, here, you handle it. I can't do it. I can't do this alone. You have to be helping me. You need to help me. It seemed like everything was due then. Everything. But you know what? I said, God, you have it all. See, Jesus wants to be in a place. He wants us to get us to where we close our eyes. Because he wants us in a place, because he says, I am the God of now. Now. Seconds ago, that was the past. It's all done. Seconds from now is the future. But now, trust me, Michael. Trust me. How many of us, if I said, close your eyes and just said, okay, Lord, you guide me, how many would you just kind of just open one of the eyes and kind of see, hey, what's going on here? I don't know what's going on. How many people would actually do that? I would say a lot of us do, right? We would actually say, hey. Yeah, but you know what? He is the God of now. He is the great I am. And as Moses found out when he asked the Lord, who shall I say sent me? God responded in Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, who am who I am? He said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. He is the God of the present. We are to close our eyes and let him guide us. How many of us can do that? How many can actually say, hey, God, take me. Take my hand. I'll follow you everywhere you go. And I won't open my eyes. How many? In Luke 8:18, it says, 18:8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? And we know that Jesus is talking to the apostles, and he's talking about the end times. And he's saying, will I find faith when I come back? Will I find faith? We have a testimony of a lady who used to, what she would do is when she was challenged and she couldn't pay her bills, and so there she would just cook dinner and she'd stick it in the oven regardless. no electricity, no gas, no nothing, but she would stick a piece of meat in the oven. And then when she thought it was ready, she'd call everybody to dinner. She said, she set the table. She said, all right, we're going to have a roast tonight. And everybody got ready. And she pulled out the oven, out of the oven, and she pulled out a roast. It was hot. It was cooked. I don't know how many times she did that, but she did that. See, that she had faith. Faith. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for faith. See, in Romans 10:17, it says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Matthew 21:20, it says, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? In Matthew 21:21, it says, and so Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say it to you, if you have the faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but you also, but if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. In 22, it says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Hallelujah. If we have the faith, it'll happen. We just have to have the faith. In Mark 11:22, we're getting close to that special verse. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. See, Jesus said, have faith in God. In 23, it says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that thus those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen. And then our special verse, 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, but don't forget, you have to desire them, because this is the New King James Version. If you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You have to desire it, you have to pray for it, and you have to believe that you received when you ask that moment. It is done. And that's what Karen was saying. Remember Pastor Karen was saying tonight, believe you receive it. Now. It's been done. See, with faith, we move into prosperity. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In order for all these things to be added unto you, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. And all of these things will be done to you. Everything. Everything your heart's desire, you have it. And Luke 6:38, give and that shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. We all need to give. Give. We all need to have hearts to give. Every time, remember Pastor Joshua always said, whenever there's an opportunity for me to give, I give. And he learned that from Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland said, anytime something is passed, a basket is passed, a plate is passed, asking for money, I give. We should have that attitude of giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. He loves a cheerful giver. You know what? I found that attitude is it means a lot. I can't say it's everything, but it sure is important. And it changes a lot. I know that this well-known pastor on the radio, he has a saying, and I used to have it on my board, but it says, attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, education, money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. And he goes on, he says, and he goes on. And then he says again, he says, it will make or break a company, a church, a home. You get the idea. We need to be cheerful givers. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, God, we have a heart to give. God will make sure that we have an abundance to give. He will make sure. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed. He even will multiply the seed that you plant. He will multiply that and supply it. You have sown and increased the fruits of your righteousness. Amen. Tithing. Malachi 3:8. Will man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Well, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. In 3:9 it says, you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then it says 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. It says, try me now in this. This is the only place in the Bible that says, try me now in this. Try me, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to even receive it. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. It says in 3:11, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. In 3:12, all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. So how do we get being a hearer and doer, and all of a sudden we end up in tithing? How do we do that? Because it's the Word of God. Aren't we all hearers and doers of the Word? We need to do the Word of God. It is the Word of God. If we believe His Word, we have the faith to believe it. Tithing, you see, tithing is the start of prosperity. It's the start of prosperity. Then tithing becomes a natural assumption. It's naturally, all of a sudden, I'm going to start tithing. And when you have the faith enough to tithe, then God will honor you. When you have that faith, then He will honor you. It takes faith to tithe. They say that the wallet, my wallet, your wallet, is the last thing to be converted. That's right. They say that. Well, your wallet is the last thing to be converted. I believe it. Why? So many people want control. They want control of that wallet. They want control of that money. They want control. And when we give it to God, we lose that control. And we don't want to lose it. Wow. There are many, many stories of people or testimonies and people that are in trouble. Many, many, many people were in debt. Oh, I was looking on the internet and I just could not believe of all the testimonies of people who were just in over their heads. I could just say they were just over their heads in debt. Completely debt. Almost all of them were using credit cards to the point where they didn't have any cash. They had credit cards, and even the credit cards were maxed out. They were in a bind. They knew that their way wasn't working. They knew it. Their thing of control, it was backfiring. They got to have control, but it wasn't working. They had to have it their way. You see, everyone decided, I'm going to give it to God. They gave their finances to God and said, Lord, you take care of my finances because I obviously can't do it. You see, some had results right away. There's two testimonies I want to tell you about. One, I remember one couple, they're explaining, it says, when we finally decided we were at the end of our rope, we decided we're going to tithe. Well, they decided to tithe, and he says, I wrote out a check, and I wrote it in the morning. And I just kind of looked at my wife, and I just go, oh, my God, what have I done? What have I done? And so later on, I guess the in-laws dropped in, and they were talking and whatever, and all of a sudden, one of the in-laws handed them an envelope. And I go, wow. So after the in-laws left, the couple decided to open the envelope. So they opened the envelope. Did you know when they opened it, the check that they got from the in-laws was just the amount that they had tithed. The same amount. The same amount. You know, and today I was talking with Buzz, and Buzz is Matthew's father. And I was talking with him, and I was saying what I was going to be doing. I'm going to be talking about tithing and things. And he says, I want to talk to you about tithing. And I go, oh, okay. So he said, you know, my wife and I, Cherie, decided to tithe, and it was quite a number of years ago, and so we tithe, excuse me, I'll let me back up a little bit. He said, I used to be one of these guys who just put a dollar in. I put maybe $5 in the basket. I would just put some money in. He says, then I found out one of my friends was going to speak about tithing. I go, oh, okay. So he spoke about tithing, and he says, you know, I was convicted. I wanted the tithe. I says, I was going to start tithing. So I wrote out a check, and I got real nervous. He said, I got real nervous. In fact, he started to shake his head a little bit. But he says, I actually wrote out a check and I actually got nervous. But I did it. He said, during the week, I got some mail. And I got some mail from the insurance company. And he says, what did I get from the insurance company? What do they want? You know, this is kind of a bad time of the month to be giving me some mail. So he opens the mail up, and there's a check made out to him and Cherie, and he reads the check. It's made out to them, and it's the same amount of money that he had tithed. Same amount. That's the second one that I heard. I was going, wow. You know, he said, everyone experienced the Lord. He said, every one of them said, the Lord was so moving in them and touched our lives. He said, we got to a point where when we were tithing, we didn't tithe to get. We wanted to bless other people. That's how we started to do it. We just started to say, we want to bless other people. And they said that we wanted the Lord, we wanted to be the hands and the feet of the Lord. We wanted to be used by the Lord. We wanted to be servants of the Lord, to serve Him. And knowing that it's nothing that we did, it was nothing that we did. But God just did it all because we honored God and we would perform His word. We were obedient to the word of God. So what would you rather have? God, your 90% of your income? Or would you have you and your 100% of your income? You know, if I have God in 90%, boy, I tell you, I take God hands down. I want God. If you want God to be in your life, doesn't it make sense to tithe? It makes really good sense to tithe, let me tell you. If you can't give to God, You see, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And there were people saying they got to the point where they were so anxious to make out the check that they couldn't wait to write out a check for their tithe. That's how important it was to them. Now, there are benefits to tithing. Number one, it loosens the devourer in your life not to tithe. If you don't tithe, the devourer in your life will become active. It breaks the curse on your life. It brings deliverance. It brings healing. Exodus 23:25. Where have we heard that before? God blesses the food. He removes all sickness from the midst of us. It is the doorway to financial blessings of God. You see, we need to worship and honor Him. Like in Hebrews 11:6, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It makes you a partner with God. In James 4:8, thank you. James 4:8. People said they could start sleeping at night. That they had peace, knowing that God was taking care of them. Now, you don't have this in your outline, but I decided at the last minute to add this. Excuse me. I think my computer's out. Okay. All right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It says, how do you tithe? Well, we need to treat the tithe as holy. Okay? That's first, number one. Number two, confess your sins before you tithe. Always confess your sins before you tithe. Number three, God loves a cheerful giver. Where have we heard that before? Remind God that He has the promises, promised to bless us in the land of milk and honey. That's right. He's promised to bless us in the land of milk and honey. Remember, we're actually presenting the tithe to Jesus. Yes, someone is there before us in place of Jesus, but we are actually giving it to Jesus. And then it says, give where you are being fed the Word of God. Because I'm giving this thing here or whatever I'm doing, just because I'm doing it here doesn't mean you have to tithe here. If you're being fed somewhere else, naturally, tithe at that location. But if you're being fed here, then tithe. If we claim we are HDers, if we claim that we are HDers, then we need to be tithing. Every one of us should be tithing. We all should be tithing. You see, tithing is the doorway to financial blessings of God. It's the doorway. Tithing is the doorway to the blessings of God. And if you want the blessings of God, start tithing. You know, people were saying and giving testimony, says, they knew of no one that tithe, and were sorry they did it. Every one of them said, hey, this is awesome. The Lord is blessing me way and beyond I could ever imagine. He is meeting my every need. Every need is being met. Every need. If you want your needs met, and more so, because each time the Lord blesses you, you increase it, you make a step forward, you start having more faith, He says, Michael, hey, let's increase the tithe. Let's get it more. That's more. Let's increase it. I said, okay. So He increases it. And he gives you even more to the point you are just overflowing. He will do that for you. You just have to say, hey, I'm going to be willing to tithe. And then we can say to the Lord, yes, Lord, when you come back, there will be faith. Because I have faith, I am tithing. That is the start of your faith, the tithe. That's the start of everything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.